It is truly miraculous that I am here, because when I was a junior and senior, I came to Steubenville Mid-America conferences. As a teenager, I was here, and so it's like so crazy that I am up here sharing with you the things that God has done in my life. When I used to live in Memphis, and now I live in Kansas. But I am moving to Oklahoma City. It is so crazy. But I was born in Texas, though. So that's so great. Okay, Texas. Okay. It's always the Texas crowd, you know? So my husband and I, we have 5 children. By the way, Oklahoma City people, if you know where we can live, just message me, please, because we don't know where to live. We're trying to sell our house. Pray for that. So anyways, we have 5 kids. They are 4 boys and 1 girl, so we can't have nice things. I already said that. The ages are 8, 7, 6, 3, and 1, because at our wedding, we were told to go out and make disciples. Get it? Okay. Sorry. Okay. But I want to tell you this story. My 4th child is the psycho child. He is crazy. He's got like this afro. I went to Wendy's one time and I was holding him on my hip and the cashier said, "No offense, but your kid kind of looks like a baby Albert Einstein." So can we see that picture? So that's Diego. He is 3 now, almost 4. He would literally, right before he was potty trained, would go and climb on the changing table and call out, hey, yo, somebody gonna change me? I mean, he is just that kind of kid. But when he was about the age in this picture, we were in Colorado visiting my sister, and my mom had a hotel room, and she said, you know, why don't you guys come and hang out at the hotel room, and the kids can swim and stuff, and it'd be great. So I take the kids. We had 4, and then I was either pregnant, I think I was pregnant with the 5th. And we get to the hotel. My mom has this luggage rack, and she says, I need to take this back down to the lobby. So I said, okay, you know, that's fine, and the kids wanted to go with her. And she said, well, I can take them. It'll be good. We'll just walk down to the lobby and we'll come right back. I said, okay. So I stayed back in the room. About 10 or 15 minutes later, they come back into the room and my daughter says, you're gonna kill Granny. And I said, what happened? And my mom is crying and she's frantic. And she says, everything is okay now, but I had lost Diego. I said, what? What happened? Well, while they were waiting for the elevator, my mom got distracted by something and was looking away from the elevator, and he got onto the elevator of this hotel. Doors closed. He's in there by himself. And my mom started screaming and like, please somebody help me, my grandson. He's lost in this elevator. You know, I don't even know what floor it's going to. My mom gets in the elevator, and it was empty. And she gets in this one elevator, she goes down to the lobby, and she's calling the manager, please help me find my grandson. So the whole staff, they get up, and they're running up the staircase. And then this one lady says, well, I saw a man on the elevator, and I can't remember if he had a child with him or not. So my mom is thinking the worst case scenario. She's thinking, oh my gosh, did somebody take my grandson? Where could he be? We have to search this whole hotel, which is like 5 or 6 floors. Well, finally, the hotel manager found my son. He was standing at the door of a hotel room, kind of knocking, wanting to be let in. And the hotel manager picked him up and brought him back down to the lobby to my mom. Back where he belonged. What have you gotten into that has swept you away from where you belong? And do you know that right now in this moment, there is a frantic search for you that's saying, come back. Where are you going? Come back. My son didn't even know that this frantic search is going on. At some point, he probably would have started crying for me. Like, where's my mommy? And sometimes for us, when we get swept away and the doors kind of close and we find ourselves like, oh my gosh, I have cut myself off from the Lord. I'm like, I'm rock bottom now. And the Lord is saying, come back to me, come back to me. The Lord says, I came to seek and save the lost. What have you gotten into that has swept you away? And do you not know that there are hundreds of saints and angels and Jesus himself who says, I came to find you. You belong with me. And all will be right when you are back. I had to reflect on the scripture. One of the scriptures that was recommended for this talk is the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And I thought, what does that have to do with where we belong? Oh my gosh, the Lord just seriously opened my eyes with this scripture. It has everything to do with where we belong. So the Lord, Jesus, is with his apostles, and he receives word from Martha and Mary that their brother is sick. And Jesus hears, you know, that the brother is sick, and he loves this family. But he tells the person to send word back to Martha and Mary. He says, this illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. And Jesus stays where he is for two more days. Why? Because he's going to reveal his glory. He knows that this is not the end for Lazarus, right? And then on the third day, he says, okay, it's time to go to Judea. And his apostles are like, no, there's people there that want to kill you because of the words that you're saying and your teachings. It's too dangerous for you to go. And Jesus says, no, I'm going anyway. So he goes to Judea. Martha hears that he's coming, and she runs out to him, and she says, well, let me back up, because this is actually a kind of a funny part in scripture, because when the Lord is telling his apostles that he needs to go to Judea, he tells the apostles, like, Lazarus is sleeping, and I must go and awaken him. And the apostles are like, oh, well, if he's sleeping, he'll recover. It'll be fine. And then Jesus is like, no, he's dead. Like, you idiots. You know? I mean, and it literally says in scripture, but the apostles did not understand, so Jesus spoke plainly, you know, he is dead. And so Jesus gets there. Martha sees that he's coming. And Martha says, Lord, if you were here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know that he'll rise. And Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And then he asked to see the tomb. Now, when he sees where Lazarus has been placed in the tomb, he cries. It says Jesus wept, and he must have wept so uncontrollably because the Jews say, see how much he loved him. But if he had been here, this wouldn't have happened. They've given up hope. Like, he's already dead. If he had been there, this wouldn't have happened. And see how much he loved him? He's crying. Why is he crying? He knows that Lazarus has died. He knows that he's going to raise him. If I was Jesus, I'd be like, everybody, we just need to chill. I got this. Like, step aside, you know, prepare to be amazed, you know. But Jesus weeps. And then he says, Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus comes out. And Jesus says, unbind him and let him go. Last year, almost exactly a year ago, last June, my mom was in a car accident. And she was T-boned at 60 miles per hour. She missed a stop sign. And she was in the ICU for about a week. And lots of crazy things happened. One thing that was so amazing was a priest happened to be driving by. I'm friends with this priest on Facebook now. It's so cool. So this priest happened to be walking by, and he stopped and he stayed with my mom. As a loving father, thank God for our priests. But he stayed with my mom. Yeah. So after about a week in the ICU, we weren't sure if she was going to make it or not. I had gone up to visit, but then I had to get back to my kids. So I was in Kansas, they were in Michigan, and my mom had a pulmonary embolism. And they said, you know, there's this blood clot in her heart. It looks bad. We don't know if she's going to make it. So I called up a priest friend of mine. And this is so crazy, too, because when I was visiting at the hospital, my mom couldn't say her name. I would say, Mom, what's my name? Mom, who am I? And she couldn't say it. But if I said, Hail Mary, full of grace, she would say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women. It was like the battle between life and death right there. The flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. I got that backwards. The spirit is willing, and the flesh is weak. And she was praising God, even while her body is suffering. And she can't even say her name. She can't even say, who am I? It was like standing right between life and death. And I started singing, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And I used to hate that song because I'm like, okay, God can do whatever he wants. Like, of course he's welcome. He's everywhere. But this will become so relevant in a second. But for some reason, I just felt called to pray that song. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And when she had the pulmonary embolism and I got the call and I was down in Kansas, I called a couple priest friends of mine and I left messages. And I said, please go see my mom right now. They don't know if she's going to make it. But can you please, please, please talk her into receiving the Eucharist? She doesn't feel like she's worthy because she hasn't been to Mass in a long time because she's been sick. But I know that God wants to give himself to her. Please talk her into receiving the Eucharist. So these two priests both show up. Again, praise God for our priests. Two priests showed up, and they were able to talk her into receiving Jesus. And she had a feeding tube, but they were able to give her just a tiny little piece on her tongue to dissolve in her mouth. And as soon as they left the room, my mom's heart rate plummeted. Then it skyrocketed. Then it plummeted. And my sister is texting me the whole time. She's like, oh my gosh, all the emergency room personnel, they've come in, they've put these electric shock pads on her chest. I don't know what's happening. Noelle, she's turning gray. What is happening here? And my first thought was, I just killed my mom. Like Jesus was just waiting for her to receive him, and now he's going to take her to heaven. Like it's done. She's going home now. That was my first thought. And I just started crying, like, please, God, please, God. Please just be with us. I started just praying the rosary over and over and over again. And through the course of the night, her heart began to stabilize. And I went to Mass with my kids the next morning, and the gospel reading was the hemorrhaging woman who had suffered for 13 years, who touches Jesus and is healed. And I started crying. And my son, my six-year-old, almost six-year-old, he said, Mom, why are you crying? And I said, because Jesus just healed your grandmother. And he said, oh, I thought you were crying because you wish Granny was a better driver. I mean, well, that too. Jesus heals. Guys, but there is nothing. And I could have said, Lord, where were you? Why did you let this accident happen? Why did you let Sophia's mother get cancer? Why are these bad things happening, Lord? If you were here, this wouldn't have happened. If you were real, this wouldn't have happened. And Jesus doesn't promise the life without suffering, but he is with us and he weeps just like he wept at the tomb, even though he knows that there's going to be victory. He knows that death is not the end and the final say, that death has lost its sting. He knows that, but he weeps. He takes on the fullness of our pain. And he says, I love you, and your suffering is not the end. You belong with me, and neither death nor life nor principalities of darkness, nothing will separate you from the love of God. Nothing. You are mine. And I stretch out my arms and give you everything that I am. You are mine. Lord, where were you? We sometimes think that because there's suffering, that must mean that God doesn't exist, right? But suffering, we choose suffering a lot of times when we know that there's going to be something good in the end. Diet and exercise. That's suffering. But we go through it because we want to be healthier. Getting a job because we want to get something out of that. There are sufferings that we choose, but when it's something that we don't choose, we feel like, God, where were you? If you were here, this wouldn't have happened. But our faith doesn't end at the cross. There is resurrection. There is life. There is hope. Death has lost its sting. Sin has lost its power. No elevator doors can keep you away from the love of God. Nothing that you've gotten into that has swept you away can keep you from the love of God. But you got to turn around and say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I hurt this relationship. I'm sorry that I chose other things besides you. I'm sorry that I put other things and other people in my life ahead of you. One time when I was at a conference and I was sharing this story of my mom's accident, they said, you know, if God loved your mom, she wouldn't have gotten into an accident in the first place. And I said, listen, God didn't make my mom run a stop sign. She missed it. It was an accident. If we don't have predictable consequences to our actions, we're not truly free to make choices for love or against love, for God or away from God. We need, if every time somebody runs a stop sign, God is like, whoop, get out of the way. You know, he's like this helicopter parent constantly taking away any sort of negative consequence of our actions. And we're not really free to choose him, to choose to say, Lord, yes, I belong to you, and I love you. He says, you are mine. Everything I have is yours. Where were you, God? I was there. I was in the car with your mom. I was at the bedside from the person that you loved that passed away. I was there in the midst of that sin. I was there that late night when you were doing things you weren't supposed to be doing. I was there. Nothing will separate you from my love. Just as when I travel and I'm away from my kids, I have this hunger, this ache to be reunited with them. God aches for us. Did you know there's an amazing website that I'm going to plug? Father Robert Spitzer, I love him so much. But he has this website called CrediblCatholic.com. Not incredible, just CrediblCatholic.com. And it has scientific studies that like something like 85% of people that have near-death experiences who were blind from birth have had experiences of being able to see. These are scientific studies, not Catholic Church, you know, made-up stuff. These are like scientific proven studies. I met a girl who reported having a near-death experience, and she saw Jesus. Death does not separate us from the love of God. But in order to access that eternity, you got to receive the sacraments. You got to go to confession. You've got to go to Mass. To be transformed, if you've ever heard that expression, you are what you eat. Like Jesus gives us, his entire self in the Eucharist, in the Mass. Like, you get to have Jesus living within you, literally, physically, right here. Not somewhere out there up in the sky. Like, our God is not this mighty power that just removes himself from us because he's better than us. But he came and he took on the weight of our pain. He grieves with us. He feels the hurt with us. He cries with us. He died like us. But that's not the end. That's not the end of your story. You don't get to stay lost. Come back. Look at him face to face tonight. Praise him. Jesus, I'm tired of running. Come get me and bring me back where I belong. My mom was in hospitals and rehab centers for 6 months. And I can't tell you all the ins and outs of the specifics of, like, why this happened, but I can tell you that there was at one point where I had been going to daily Mass, and I'd been praying for her, and I'd been reading the readings of the day, like, Lord, speak to me. You want the Lord to speak to me? To you, open your Bible. Read your Bible. If you want to hear God's word, pick it up. Every single day, something jumped out at me, like, man, okay, the Lord is here. He's assuring me every single day there's something here. And I remember at one point thinking, if my mom dies, it's gonna be okay. And then I was like, wait, what? That doesn't make any sense. Why would I think this? God doesn't promise a lack of suffering, but he promises that he will walk with you. He will give you peace. And that the suffering and the death and the storms of this life are not the end. They don't have power over us who belong to Jesus, who have his body and his blood coursing through our veins, that he loves us so much. When my oldest son was about 3, he used to be scared of monsters. And he would go to bed, and then he would come running out, and he would say, Mom, there's a monster in my closet. Like, there's no monsters in your closet. Like, go back to bed. Then he would come out again, Mom, there's a monster under my bed. And we're like, there's no monster under the bed. We'd go look, you know, see, there's no monsters. Send him back to bed. Well, then one day my husband heard a quote or read a quote by G.K. Chesterton that said, don't teach your kids there's no such thing as monsters. Teach them how to defeat them. So my husband said to my son, okay, if you see a monster, I want you to say, in the name of Jesus, go away. So they practice a few times and we send him to bed. And we can hear him in his room, in the name of Jesus, go away. And we're like, we are awesome parents, you know? We have empowered him. Like, he feels so great. No, don't clap yet. Thank you, but when you hear the rest of the story, you will regret that applause. So we're just like, you know, he's empowered. He's not bothering us. This is great. Well, then one day, we were at Target, and I had stepped away from the shopping cart to go get something off of a shelf. And my husband is standing with our 2 children, and my son sees a lady with kind of an unusual hairstyle walking by. He stands up, points at her, and screams, in the name of Jesus, go away! So my husband is looking at me like, help me, help me. And I'm like, no, I'm not walking over there. And the lady walks past me and she goes, that was weird. And I was like, yeah, I don't know whose kid that was super weird, like awkward. So then we told him, like, son, Catholics don't pray out loud. Just kidding. We didn't say that. The bigger lesson here is not to point and scream at people unless they're on fire. When those dark thoughts, when those monsters kind of creep into your life, oh, here's another thing that's super great. So we were at Walmart, and we're, like, looking at the action figures, and my son wants this really scary, ugly action figure, and I was like, you're not getting that. That looks like the devil. And he's like, no, the demons that I've seen are all black. I'm like, okay, Father, you know, like, super, super weird. But anyways, so when those, like, dark thoughts start creeping in, when you start to doubt, like, the goodness of God, when the tragedies in your life start to overwhelm you, when the lack of forgiveness starts to take over your heart and make you bitter towards other people, just say, in the name of Jesus, go away. His name has power. And when he comes in this room tonight, if all that you can say is just Jesus, his name has power. And it will bring light into the darkness. You will experience healing tonight. I know you will. I know you will. If that's the only thing that you can say right now, if you're even struggling and you're sitting here and you're like, I don't even know if I believe. This church stuff is weird. You know, maybe you're struggling with that right now. Just say right now. You've got nowhere else to be, but right here, right now, just say, Jesus. Cry out to him, because my son who got lost in the elevator, when he realized that he couldn't find me, that's what he would have done. Mommy, mommy. Just Jesus. He knows already. You don't have to tell him all the details of the situation. He knows what you've brought here with you tonight. Just let him look at you and love you and say, you belong. And if you haven't been to confession and you're longing for healing, you need to get to confession. Because in order for a relationship to be made whole again, sometimes we have to say, I'm sorry. And that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It means you're trying to make a relationship whole again. It means you need to be unbound and let go, like Lazarus was as he came out of that tomb. Lay it down. Let people have their moment with Jesus tonight. Don't be that person that's going to distract from what Jesus wants to do to the person next to you. Let them have this time with Jesus. If you love them and you care about them, they might be really lost right now. Be part of the search party that's going to go out and help them find Jesus by letting them have their time with him. God is good, and he loves you, and he's going to change your life tonight. He came to seek and save the lost, and you are his.